Texaco greets you from New York. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to another Texaco Star Theater performance on Broadway, Heart of the World Theater. Tonight they present The Criminal Code, starring Burgess Meredith and Arthur Byron, with Helen Clare and a distinguished Broadway cast. Following our usual custom here in the Texaco Star Theater, there will be no commercial announcement during the play. But before the curtain goes up, here is a message of interest from your Texaco dealer. Ever been to an airport? Ever seen those giant airliners taxi across the field, skim along the runway and rise into the air? It takes real power to make smooth motion like that possible. And it was with the idea of capturing something like this smoothness of flight for your car, the Texaco engineers developed Sky Chief, Texaco's new premium gasoline. And with Sky Chief in the tank, you'll agree that they've given you just about the nearest thing to it in ground travel. Press the starter and you're off with a rush of power. Shifting from first to second to high becomes almost a mere formality, for you've got momentum all the time. And when you give her the gun, let her out of it on the highways, it's almost as though you were traveling through the smooth, calm upper air, for Sky Chief gives wings to wheels. New, different, Sky Chief is truly a gasoline for those who want the best, and yet it costs no more than other premium gasolines. You'll find it in the pump next to popular-priced Fire Chief at your neighborhood Texaco dealer. And here is Burns Mantle to tell you about tonight's play and players. Mr. Mantle.
Thank you, Larry Elliott. Good evening, playgoers. As you have been told, tonight's play is Martin Flavin's Criminal Code. The stars are Burgess Meredith, Arthur Byron, and Helen Clare. This is another interesting trio of players. Burgess Meredith happens to be one of the exceptional young men of the theater. Starting from a few feet back of scratch, he reached the line where the stars stand in a little less than 5 years. His success in Winterset on both stage and screen is well remembered, and he will soon be seen in the motion picture version of Mice and Men. Criminal Code is another of the Broadway plays that the first night audience stood in its places and cheered. Arthur Byron, the star of that occasion, is here to play his original role of the understanding warden. The Byron career in the American theater has been long and honorable. He has recently played magnificently as the Inquisitor in St. Joan and as Polonius to John Gielgud's Hamlet. Helen Clare is that fair-haired honey child from Alabama who came to New York and worked for a year to overcome her southern accent before she could get a job. She played Yankee girls and English girls and then had to put her accent back to make the hit of her career in last season's Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Now for tonight's play, Criminal Code, with Burgess Meredith as Robert Graham, Arthur Byron as Martin Brady, and Helen Clare as Mary Brady.
This is a story of a prison, of men who enforce the criminal code and those who break it. Against an unrelenting background of cell block, lockup, dungeon, and jute mill, the figure of a boy stands out. A boy with brooding eyes and sensitive features under the prison pallor.
I'm convict number 23499. This is my story. It's the story of a murderer. Please don't shudder and turn away from me until you've heard it. I wasn't always convict number 23499. Once I had a name. I was Robert Graham, clerk in a broker's office, a small town boy in a big city without a friend of my name. And that's why one night, about 6 years ago, I asked one of the girls in the office to go out with me. I didn't know her very well, but she seemed friendly and almost as lonely as I. Well, we went out to dinner. We were having a swell time until a drunk by the name of Parker came over to our table.
You come with me, you two-timing little dame.
Who do you think you're talking to?
That's your girlfriend, she knows. She stood me up, the dirty little...
You apologize.
Oh, leave me alone, will you?
You insulted this lady.
Lady! Ah, that's a good
you
one.
You apologize. You've got to apologize.
Oh, pipe down, you little hick.
I kept asking him to apologize until he got red in the face and reached back into his hip pocket. He was drunk, and I thought he was going to shoot, so I picked up a water bottle from the table and I...
Oh!
Parker was lying on the floor with his head smashed. Everything else was a blur. Then the police came. They took me away. They locked me up. The next thing I knew, I was standing face to face with Martin Brady, the district attorney.
Look here, Bob. You can't plead self-defense. There was nothing in Parker's back pocket but a handkerchief. So my advice to you is to plead guilty to second-degree murder and take your jolt. You might get off easier if you do that.
There was nothing to do but take Brady's advice. And that's why the judge said...
I hereby sentence you, Robert Graham, to 10 years in the state penitentiary.
Well, it wasn't so hard the first year or the second. I was hoping I'd shorten my term by good behavior. But the third year went by and the fourth, and hoping wasn't enough anymore. There was something inside of me that was crying for a chance to walk down a country road again. Something that ached for the sight of blue sky without prison bars in front of it. And after 6 years, I was so sick, I could die of the noise, smell, and the grind, and the grease of the jit. 6 years of screaming machinery and piling up bales of jute, one on the other, thousands on thousands.
Okay, Bob, let's drag that other bale over here.
I won't do it, Jim. I tell you, I won't do it.
Pipe down. You want to get peace in there?
I don't care. I can't lift another bale. I can't and I won't. Now let me out. They've got to let me out.
You'll never get out. They hear you yelling like this.
I can't drag another bale. I can't.
Stop it, Bob. They'll jerk you out of here and throw you in solitary.
I'll try. But I can't stand it any longer. I'm cracking up. I'm falling apart. I wish I was dead.
You practically got your wish, son. This ain't life by a long shot. Now, look here, Bob. I'll tell you something. I didn't mean to tell you this at all. I'm going to make a break for it.
You'll never get away with it.
Yeah, but it's the only chance I got.
Listen, will you take me with you, Jim?
Now, you better think it over, kid. It's always a long shot. 9 out of 10 every come back.
I don't care. When are you going to do it? How?
Well, there's 4 of us in it. Now, myself, Dutch Trask, Pete Grimes, and Runch.
What do you want to take Runch for?
I'm not keen on him myself. He was a hophead once. You can't never count on him. But he's a pal of Grimes, and Grimes is framed of bread.
How?
Well, there's a guard in here with the niching palms, see? Yeah. Grimes got a line on him from the outside, and he thinks he's safe. For $1,000, he shoot his own grandmother.
It's all arranged.
Sure, it's all framed. You see, it works like
hey,
that.
Hey, what's going on here?
Oh, nothing, Captain Gleason, nothing at all.
Well, then get back on the job. The new warden's arrived, and we're going to show him around the place.
Oh, the new warden, huh? Who is he?
Martin Brady.
Who?
Martin Brady. Used to be district attorney over in the big city. And he's tough on crooks. So you better toe the mark with him around.
Brady, the new warden. It's the man who sent me up. Well, they couldn't drag me into the jute mill after that. I got so sick that even Gleason gave up trying to do anything with me. He turned me over to Reinwolf, the prison doctor. And Reinwolf did the one thing I hoped he wouldn't do. He took me in to see Brady.
If you could spare one moment, Warden.
Yeah, sure, Doctor.
This boy here, I would like to talk to you about him.
Yeah?
He was sent to my office. Failure to eat, to work. He's breaking down. I would like to recommend a change of occupation and environment.
Yeah?
Yes. Here is his record card, if you would care to look at it.
Yeah, sure, thanks. Let's see. Graham, Robert Graham. The name is familiar. Tell me, son, did they ever call you Bob? Don't be afraid to answer.
Yes, some people did.
Well, Bob, I don't know what you're here for. These cards don't tell much of a story.
You ought to remember. It was the Parker killing 6 years ago.
Yeah? Oh, yeah? I remember now. Well, well, well.
You forgot about it, didn't you?
No, I didn't, but I've been through so many.
Just so many faces. That didn't mean anything.
Father, I hope I'm not interrupting anything important.
Not at all, Mary, dear. You've met my daughter, Dr. Reinwolf?
Yes, I have had the pleasure. How do you do, Miss Brady?
Oh, fine, thank you, Doctor.
What did you want, Mary?
I'm waiting for you, dear. Tea's ready.
Tea, eh? Well, we're getting pretty stylish, aren't we, Mary?
I guess we are.
Well, run along, dear. I'll be there in a minute.
Oh, try not to be too long, Father.
No, I won't. Now then, Bob, Dr. Reinwolf believes you should have a change of occupation and environment. Is there anything in particular you'd like to do around here? Look here, Bob, aren't you listening to me?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I always...
I believe your daughter interrupted my patient's train of thought, Mr. Brady.
Oh. Well, about this change of occupation. Tell me, Bob, can you drive a car?
I used to.
Well, how would you like to drive me and my daughter around?
You mean you let me?
Yeah. Your record's been good here for 6 years, according to this card. And Dr. Reinwolf seems to feel that a change of environment is is very important in your case.
I know, but wouldn't I...
I don't think it'll be too much of a temptation, having that much freedom, if that's what you mean. I don't expect you to break out of jail while driving my daughter.
Oh, Bob.
Yes, Miss Brady?
Do you suppose my father will still be in his office by the time we get back?
I guess he will, Miss Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make good time.
Yes, I know. I spent so much time shopping, really much more than I intended to. But then I'll need everything for my trip.
Will you be gone long?
Only a few days.
Oh.
Is there anything I can do for you?
No, thank you.
Anyone you'd like to have me see?
Oh, no. There isn't anybody now.
Oh?
See, my mother died 3 years ago.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know.
You know, she used to come to see me every month until she died. It kind of kept my courage up. Something to look forward to, you know?
Yes, I know.
Afterwards, I began to slip, I guess. It's awful hard to make yourself believe that it's worthwhile to try. And that's what you've got to do. Or break.
Are you bitter, Bob?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Not now. I was. But I seem to see more clearly now.
What?
Well, I don't know if I can put it into words. But you see, now, most everybody's trying to do what seems to them right. Inside and out, I mean. They just think differently, that's all. A man like Jim Fales can't possibly think the way your father does, because they're on two different sides of the fence.
Jim Fales?
Yeah.
Who's he?
He's my cellmate.
Oh.
I think he's a good man in his way. He's tried to be a sort of a father to me.
Oh. Bob.
Hmm?
Did you know that father's trying to get your parole?
I know it. You know that it doesn't matter so much to me now?
Why do you say that?
I mean, if you stay here...
You don't mean that.
Yes, I do. It isn't like it was before at all. If I could see you, just see you every day, or when they lock me up at night, there's something to think about, to wait for until tomorrow.
Oh. What will you do when you're free again?
Oh, I don't know. I've thought about it a lot, too. Don't you think it'll make a difference to people?
What?
That I've been in prison?
Oh, it shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't, should it? When a thing is paid for, that should end it. But they don't think that inside. They say it does. They say that's why so many who go out, they come right back. Would it make a difference to you, Mary? I'm sorry. Miss Brady?
I don't think so, Bob.
Well, here we go through the famous double gate. They do everything to make it hard to get in and out, don't they?
I guess they have to.
Who's that out there?
Warden's car.
Okay, Bob.
Right.
Better pull up a minute, Bob.
Why?
Can't open the other gate just yet.
What's the trouble?
What do you think that siren means?
It's a break.
That's what it is, boy.
A jailbreak, killing and shooting. Oh, it's horrible.
You don't know how horrible. That may be some of my friends. My friends, Jim Fales, Dutch Trask, Pete Grimes and Runch, and my name could have been added to that list. Only when Jim heard how swell the warden was treating me, he told me to forget about it, said I was better off staying where I was. Poor Jim. Well, the next day I found out what happened to the boys when I talked to Galloway.
Well, kid, you know what they did with Fales and Trask and Grimes?
I've been trying to find out.
Well, I can tell you. Solitary for 8 months, that's what they got.
How did they find out about the break? Somebody squeal on?
That's right. And somebody's going to pay for it, too.
Who was it?
It was Runch. Who else?
Yeah, I thought so.
But he won't get away with it. He squealed. He turned on his pals, and he's going to pay for it.
What are they going to do?
How should I know? I've only tipped you off that there's something in the wind, so watch your step.
Right.
Brady's got Runch safe and sound working around his office. So you stay clear of him.
But I'm on my way to Brady's office now.
Oh, yeah? Keep away from Runch while you're there. Be a smart guy for once.
You told me to come back, Mr. Brady.
Yeah. I want to talk to you, Bob. Sit down.
Right, sir.
Bob, I'm trying to get you out of here.
Yes, sir, I know it.
Well, it isn't as easy as it sounds. There are 4,000 men in here, Bob, and every one of them wants me to do something. You've done 6 years out of your 10. Your record's clean. You're eligible for parole. I'm doing what I can to get you one.
Yes, sir, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, I thought you were pretty bitter about everything.
No, sir, not now.
Well, so much the better for you. Most prisoners are, and then the fight goes on forever. You've only paid according to the law, that's all. A state's attorney has to fight like the devil for that. For every man he puts behind the bars, a dozen slip through his fingers. And, what's that out there? What are the men yelling about? Where's it coming from?
I think it's in the recreation yard behind the jute mill, sir. Maybe a fight.
Yeah, maybe. I better go out there. You wait here till I get back.
Right, sir.
Bob, what's that yelling? What is it?
Oh, it's you, Runch.
Yeah, I was out in the alcove and I heard him yelling. What is it, Bob?
I don't know what it is. Sounds like a fight.
Fight? A fight? Well, why would they yell like that?
How should I know? Will you get away from me?
What do you mean, get away from
you
me?
You heard me.
Oh, you think they're touching me and fouling you, huh?
That's right.
You're sitting pretty now, Bob. But you may be in a jam like this yourself someday.
Get away.
Look, they're starting again. Look, out there, the guards are running. I can see machine guns on the wall. Oh, listen, kid. Have they got me framed?
I don't know. Will you get away?
Oh, you're lying to me, Bob. You know what's going on. Why don't you look at me in the face? Oh, I have a heart, kid. Give me a break.
I can't. Brady, stay here.
Bob! Oh, go down there and look for them, will you? All right. Just go down the stairs and ask the guards there, will you?
Listen, I'm staying here.
No, but you got it, Bob. I only want to know what's up. I can't stand waiting like this. Oh, please, kid. Please.
Oh. All right, Runch. I'll go. Hello, you dirty squealer.
Galloway, how'd you get in here?
That's easy when you're a trusted servant. Brady's private stairs.
What do you want?
Your gizzard, Runch. That's what I want.
Get away. Get away. Leave me alone. No. Galloway. No.
Runch, where are you? Galloway, what did you do?
What did you do? It's Runch. Stabbed.
Galloway, you?
Yeah, me. And you didn't see a thing, Bob. You get that and you get it straight.
Oh, I got it straight, all right. The riot was what made Runch's murder possible. Galloway was the instrument, but it was the whole prison that put Runch on the spot. I knew that when they came back and found me with Runch's body. But I wouldn't talk, not even when Brady gave me that awful, hammering, merciless thing they call the third degree.
Who killed him, Bob?
I don't know, sir.
What? I'm afraid you can't get away with that, my boy. I left you here, and Runch was alive, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
I come back. You're still here. Your face is white as chalk, and Runch is dead, isn't he? Isn't he?
Yes.
You were in here when that man was killed.
No, sir, I wasn't here.
What?
I wasn't here. I went...
What? Went where?
I don't know where I went.
Oh, you're lying, Bob. Lying to shield a murderer. A man who crept in here with a knife and struck down that poor, defenseless creature. A man is dead, Bob. The law says someone has to pay for that.
I didn't kill him, sir. I didn't even know. I wasn't even in on it. I'll swear to it.
Yeah, sure, Bob. I understand. But there'll be an inquest.
An inquest?
An inquest, yes, that's right. The long arm of the law will reach right out through these gates. The same law that's outside. What will you say to the coroner's jury then?
Nothing.
You can't get away with that. They'll yank you out of here and put you in the county jail. They'll hold you as an accessory before the fact or after it, or God knows what. You might get 10 or 20 years for that.
There's a law inside here, too, sir. A man can do anything but squeal. He can't do that. I'll have to take my chance.
Chance? You have no chance. Your parole's due here any day. The prison board will cancel that. And I can't keep you here with me. They never stand for it. You go back to the jute mill, Bob.
No, I can't and I won't.
Ah, you've not forgotten the smell of the jute mill, eh?
No, I haven't.
Who killed that man? Who killed him, Bob? Come clean now. Come on. Speak up. Who killed him? Who? Well, just tell me where he came from, Bob. From the corridor or the private stairs? You can't be doing any harm by that. Come on now, come on. It won't be violating your code to tell me that, Bob.
I can't tell you, sir.
You trade away your life to live up to a code that's made up by murderers and crooks to cheat the laws of honest men? You're not a crook. That's not your code.
Well, it's all I've had. I can't forget so quickly what I've learned here. I think it's right, their code for them. I can't go back on it or them. I can't. I wouldn't be anything then, don't you see? Not anything. I'd be like that thing lying there on the floor. No.
Yeah?
Well, what did he say, Warden?
Nothing, Gleason.
You mean he won't tell?
That's right.
Well, we'll take that out of him. We know how to do that. A week of bread and water in the dungeon. I'll loosen up his tongue for him.
Oh, no, for what?
The prison rules. A prisoner must obey. Come on. Who killed that man? Who killed him? Think fast, Bob. For heaven's sake, think fast. Who killed him? Huh?
All right. Take him away, Gleason. Put him in the dungeon. Lock him up.
Do you know what it's like being in solitary? How it feels down there in a dungeon? Well, you can't know because it's something you can't put into words. There's the first day when they throw you into the dark and they slam the iron door shut.
Okay, Graham. Now you're in and you're going to stay in until you open up that mouth of yours.
5 days in the dungeon. Well, 5 days of hunger and darkness and cold. And every day, every night, Gleason pounding at me.
I'm sick of you, Graham. Sick of you. Talking to you is like talking to a cop. Say something. Say something, I tell you. So you won't say anything, huh? Well, maybe this will make you...
Oh, don't. Well, I lay there on the damp floor. I lay there like dead after Gleason went away, and then... Well, I don't know how it happened. But after Gleason left, something broke the dark. It was shiny and bright, and it cut through the dark like a knife. It was a knife. Somebody slipped it to me through the bars and whispered that it was from Galloway. And now I'm waiting. I'm waiting for Gleason to come back.
But why have you got Bob in the dungeon, Father?
Well, Mary, technically for an infringement of prison rules. Practically to save his life, if I can.
But what good is it to save a man, Father, if you destroy him while you're doing it? A broken thing. What good is that to anyone or to itself? Prisons are filled with broken men, with broken minds and souls. What good is it to save a man for that? He'd better be dead.
Yeah, yeah, that's all right, Mary. I see your point. But what am I going to do? His parole's lying here. It's taken me 6 months to get it. I want to get him out of here. I want to turn him loose, but I can't. He's tied my hands.
You can. You must.
Yeah, what would you do?
I'd set him free tonight. And then I'd fight for him. I'd get behind him and I'd see him through. He'd have a chance. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's only doing what he thinks is right. And it's only what you think that counts.
Yeah, I know.
A man like you could find a way to save him. Delays and disagreements and whatnot. You know you could, Father.
No, no, no. You're crazy. You're just a kid. You don't know what it means. I've done the best I could for him. Now the law must take its course.
No. No, Father, you can't do that. You can't.
Say, what's gotten into you? Come on, sweetheart. Let's get right down to cases in this thing. Why are you so interested in Graham?
I love him, Father.
Is that on the level, Mary? Why didn't you tell me that at first?
I wanted you to do it because it was right. Not just for me.
Yeah, I see. How long has this been going on?
Oh, it hasn't been going on at all. He's never said a thing to me, but... Well, I read it in his eyes. And that's why I went away, to see... To find out just how much I cared. And whether it would make a difference to me that he'd been in prison. And I know now that it doesn't.
There's just one answer to that, Mary. I guess that's one thing the law doesn't cover. I turn the world upside down for you.
Oh...
Now, don't you worry, sweetheart. Don't you worry. We'll see him through somehow, some way. He'll never serve another day if we can help it, and I guess we can, some way. Come on, buck up, Mary. Steady now.
Oh, yes, Father.
Now, just listen to this. Hello, hello. Warden talking. Send number 23499 up to my office. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Father. Father, look.
Oh, Bob. I just told him to send you over here.
Did you?
I'm sorry for what's happened. Your parole has come. I'm going to send you out tonight.
Well, you can't do it. Because it's too late.
Too late? No, I'll see that you get your chance.
No, you can't. Not anymore.
What? What do you mean?
Gleason is dead because I killed him.
Oh, no.
I killed him with a knife. I didn't know, you see. I thought he'd come to torture me again, and I couldn't stand it anymore. I didn't have any more strength. He's come so many times to coax and plead and threaten that I couldn't stand it anymore. I was afraid I might give up.
Oh, Bob.
I'm not sorry. No one has any right to make another human being suffer as I did.
Father, please, can't you do something?
I can't beat this, Mary, I can't.
Father, there must be someone.
Nothing,
someone.
Mary, nothing. The alarm's in, they're searching for him now.
Father.
I'm sorry, Mary, I'm sorry, Bob. I can't help it. It's just the way things break sometimes.
the way things break.
Thank you, Mr. Meredith, Mr. Byrne, and Miss Clare, and members of the company. That was a thrilling performance of the Criminal Code. In contrast to tonight's exciting drama, next week, the Texaco Star Theater will present a charming comedy, Candlelight by name. It will star that distinguished young leading man, Francho Tone, as the hero. As the heroine, you will hear the charming comedian, Glenda Farrell. Candlelight is an amusing story of a butler who masquerades as a prince. The combination of Candlelight, Francho Tone, and Glenda Farrell should guarantee a most pleasant evening in the Texaco Star Theater. We hope that you will be with us next Wednesday night.
The Texas Company now takes pleasure in delivering a message on behalf of the entire petroleum industry. McKinley was president of the United States when automobiles first made their appearance in any number. Even then, perhaps, only 1 out of 1,000 people in the country ever actually saw one. Today, there is a motor car for 3 out of 4 American families. With only 6% of the world's population, we have over 70% of its motor vehicles. And nowhere else in the world can a motorist operate his car as cheaply as here. Low-cost gasoline, lubricants, and service, all products of the planning and development of the petroleum industry, play a vital part in this outstanding example of the American standard of living. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast who serve you with Fire Chief and Sky Chief gasolines, insulated Havilland motor oil, and other Texaco products advise weather-wise motorists everywhere, don't hibernate, insulate. Protect your car for winter driving now. Next week, the Texaco dealers invite you to be their guests again in the Texaco Star Theater, where from Hollywood, you will hear Ken Murray, your master of ceremonies, Kenny Baker, Francis Langford, Irene of Tim and Irene, Jimmy Wallington, Elsa Maxwell as guest star, and the Texaco Orchestra, directed by David Brookman. From New York, the play Candlelight, starring Francho Tone with Glenda Farrell. 1 full hour of complete entertainment. This is Larry Elliott saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Kenny Baker appeared on this program through the courtesy of Mervyn LeRoy Productions. The original music for The Criminal Code was composed and conducted by Lehman Engels.